Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, once again, we welcome you to the PRF table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting is Sister Dia Sanders. How are you doing this evening, cousin?
I'm doing good. Glad to be back on today, this week. Yes.
Yes, and we definitely are glad that you're with us and glad you got all those things that you need to get done out of the way so you can focus on the table tonight. And we also have Sister Mary back with us, who just lit it up last week. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, and thank you again, and I'm excited.
Yes, that's good. You know, last week we talked from the subject of finances and vision, and it was a very, very interesting topic, very interesting discussion. We had so many people that did at the table last week. It was about five or six people all sitting down at the table. And what was great about it was everybody just shared, and as normally as it happens on the PRF table, it kind of shifted a little bit. So we asked anybody who missed last week's show to go back through the archives on Blog Talk Radio under the We Speak Association Network and look under the PRF table and look for that show, Finances and Vision, because it has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about tonight. As we said last week, we talked about Habakkuk chapter 2, and when we did that, we said that what we were talking about last week had a lot to do as far as an extension of one of the lessons of PRF, which is planning. And I think tonight's lesson is really going to, I won't say drive it home or drive any points home, but work in concert with what we talked about last week. And Adia, I know you were with us last year, but I don't know if you remember. On December 20th of last year, we had a show called PRF Planning for 2014. And I remember when we had that show, it was really upon our hearts to really help people because it was in December. It was right before Christmas time. To position people as much as they would allow themselves to be positioned, where they're looking at what's going on within their financial life, what's going on in their PRF profile, not overdoing themselves because it was the holidays and all those things, and planning, because we all knew that February, as we heard from a previous show, February was the month of the year where the most bankruptcies were filed, and we brought statistics to everybody talking about that, and we said that we had somebody that we reached out to that worked at a bankruptcy court and gave us some data. And the data that we had not only said that February was the most common month of the whole year, but it was also January, February, and March all together. Those 2 months that the numbers were higher for people filing, and a lot of it had to do with things that they purchased from November through December. So I think it's important that we, you know, since we had that show back on December 20th of last year, that we come back to it. And I think that's just how God did it. He just brought us back to this whole thing of planning about 2 weeks ago. So tonight's show, for everybody that's just tuning into us, is called The Wisdom in Financial Planning. The Wisdom in Financial Planning. And originally I had, I just typed it out when I was building the show tonight, and I had The Wisdom of Financial Planning. And one of the things about it was I thought about of financial planning. There's a lot of people that think financial planning is good, a lot of people that have never tried to do financial planning, a lot of people that don't think that they have anything where they can call a financial planner in to be able to look at their finances because they don't have too much. So why are we talking from the perspective of the wisdom in financial planning? Because we really want to focus on some scriptures that deal with wisdom. And from learning just those scriptures that's dealing with wisdom, we're going to believe that it's going to have an impact on the financial lives of individuals. So just to get everybody kind of geared up, those of you who are listening and are writing these scriptures down and want to get to them before we get to them, we're going to be talking from Proverbs, a lot of scriptures out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, chapter 16, verse 9, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4. And we'll read them again as we move to that particular part. But Sister Mary, is there anything
yes.
that you had last week as it pertained to our discussion on finances and vision? And if not, you know, what does this thing about wisdom, how does this thing of wisdom play into what you already know in regards to how it can be used to be beneficial inside of financial planning?
Well, we know that the Bible tells us that wisdom is the most principal. Wisdom is, first of all, he says we are to get knowledge, and then we get, he says, above all, you get knowledge. And with that knowledge, he says, you get wisdom, which is going to, which will help you to apply the knowledge that you have. But he says, above all, you get understanding, okay? So wisdom, to me, you need to have some knowledge, and you really have to have some understanding, because to me, wisdom is how you apply the knowledge and the understanding that you get from the knowledge, you know, into whatever you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do. And he
right.
says it is a principal thing. He even says that in Proverbs 16:22, he says, without counsel, purpose are without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, there are established. That means you have more than just my say. You know, all three of us are here now, and so if I had a situation, okay, and I'm dealing with this, and I really don't know. I need some help on it, so it's just good to be able to go to someone else, and then you all brainstorm, you know, whatever the subject or even the project or whatever you're trying to do, you know what I mean? So here you're going to get some wisdom, because everyone's going to come from their own point of view, and then you can take that, you know what I mean, and then you can, you know, get some more knowledge about what was discussed, you know, then get above all, he said, get that understanding to me of that knowledge, and then you'll know how to apply it in your life. But your wisdom is applying what you already know in your life.
And I think one of the things that you said was very interesting. You went right to that scripture, and I figured somebody was going to do it in Proverbs that said in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Dealing with the fact of having individuals that you can go to that can, like you said, brainstorm. Well, you know, I want us to pull back from that from the beginning, because I think a lot of people have done what you just said. They've gone to a whole bunch of individuals that they believe that can actually help them. And I want us to look at it from a different angle. I think it's beneficial for us to look at it from the angle of, well, what does the Word of God say about how we deal with these things called plans? Because
okay.
there's a lot of people, as I said, that are in this business of financial planning. And I'm not saying that from a derogatory or negative standpoint. That's an excellent thing. But not just financial planning. You know, financial planning, sometimes we when we hear financial planning, we think about somebody who comes and they sit down at our house with our husband or our wife, and they ask us to provide all of our bills and our expenses, and they put some information into the computer. They ask us about our insurance. They ask us about how much taxes we pay on our home and things of that nature. So they can let us see, here's a profile of what your financial status is right now. And then they ask us questions. What are the things that we want to do, Adia? You know, when do you want to retire, right? How long is it do you want to continue working? How much money do you have saved up in the bank? And so now everything becomes what is it that I want to do? And for me, I'm just being honest. I have a problem with us as individuals taking things into our own hands and not consulting God about it. See, that's not something just off the cuff, right? You call somebody to come to your house to sit down with you as a financial planner. That's not something off the cuff. That's not just somebody you bump into the grocery store and you're having a conversation with. That's something that you plan to happen to get somebody in there because they have a title, because they have a couple letters behind their name, and you believe that that is somebody who can help you because of what their status is. And we kind of talked a little bit about that last week. And so I want us to really, you know, tonight, at least just for a little while, just focus on what does God say about planning, because remember, we're piggybacking off of what we talked about last week with Habakkuk, right? The vision to make it plain. We talked about that you have to be in a position to be able to receive that actual vision, and nothing is wrong with writing down our own plans, but at the end of the day, we want our plans to align with what we believe and what we can get revelation from God on in regards to what his plan is for us. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, because, you know, for me, I need direction, because I don't know. And what comes up in my mind is that, you know, the Bible goes back to Proverbs 3:5-6. He says, and I just try to keep this in front of me. He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. He says, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. And he says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So here he said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and not to lean on my own understanding. So I can, you know, have gone to school and be really, say, highly educated in a particular subject, you know. But I'm not to lean on that, because why? He says here, in all my ways I should acknowledge him. Because, see, he knows the hearts of people that we are dealing with. We don't. You know, they can present to us to have have high moral standards and, you know, have lived a real godly lifestyle according to what we see and know about them. But see, God knows that heart. So first, the people that we're going to get involved with, we really need to ask God, God, do I need to get involved with these people? You know, say if I need someone to help me with my financial planning, Lord, you know, do I really need to have this particular person help me? I know they're successful in what they're doing and everything, and they have a good reputation and everything, but God, you only know the heart. And so to me, you know, that's why he says acknowledge him, and he's going to direct my path. He'll just tell me, you know, you'll just feel something is not right, and sometimes you don't even know, you know. But you just know something is not right. And so therefore, for me, the way it works for me, I just back off, because I don't know what it is, but I just don't feel comfortable, you know, because I'm really, really wanting him to direct my steps. So I can't just say it because it sounds good. It has to be in my heart. And this goes back to this Proverbs 16:1, when he says the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. See, now, the preparations, God can give me, you know, directions on what to do, but my heart, and I can say to whomever is assisting me here that, yes, okay, this is what the Lord said, but my heart is far from it. Because so my answer is not going to be, it says, an answer of the tongue is from the Lord. My answer won't be from the tongue of the Lord. Why? Because it starts in my heart. And what are my motives for even wanting to do what I want to do that I said that God has called me to do, you know? And so that's why he wants us to, we have to be sincere, you know? God wants us to be sincere, you know, keep it real, you know, because God already knows all about us anyway. He knows before we were formed in our mother's womb, you know? So all of us just, as believers, we need to just keep it real with God. God, this is not really what I want to do. I know you're telling me, God, don't want to do it. Just be still on it. Don't, you know, say God is saying this and that and the other when you know God is not. Because it's not going to be successful. Why? Because the word is true all by itself. You know, he says, acknowledge me in all our ways. And so if I'm not acknowledging him in this and going my own direction, the project or whatever I'm doing is not going to be successful, because God does not give us what we're asking him for, and we go ahead and we do it, it's not going to be successful. Because he's not about our foolishness. You know, he's about sincerity, about the truth. He speaks to us. If we do not understand it, we need to just be still until we get some understanding and knowing that we are hearing from the Lord, you know. That's all I got to say.
Adia, I can't come behind that. So what do you got?
Well, one thing that I really like, that Cousin Mary said, was God knows what's in our heart. And the other thing was, when it comes to financial planning, I know sometimes we think of it at the bigger level, but even at a smaller level, just in our immediate, in our home, I think sometimes there's a misconception, or that there can be one, to the point of planning, financial planning versus financial spending. I think a lot of times the mindset is to spend instead of planning, because it's easier to spend than to sit down and actually plan what you're going to do with your finances. And what I think is so important about doing the financial planning part is that you get to see where everything is going, and that's where the counseling part comes in, to where you can say, okay, if I'm going to make a decision to start doing financial planning as opposed to financial spending, that's where that wisdom, that knowledge, and that understanding comes into play. A lot of people don't want to do that because it means that you have to study. It means that you have to be disciplined. It means that you have to have some type of structure, not necessarily, you know, doing everything, you know, step by step, but you have to have structure and discipline, and a lot of people do not want to have that because it's easier to just spend. So when you have to start financially planning, I think it's easy to start at a smaller level. And I think that, you know, like Feast's favorite word is, you're showing God that you're a good steward, that you can be a good manager over what he has given you. So say if you get a check for $500, wasn't expecting it, maybe it was an overpayment from something from a couple of years ago. A lot of times, you know, if you're not expecting something, you're not trying to think of, oh, my gosh, like I can do this, 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 and this. But when you do get it, now you think of everything in the world that you can do, instead of saying, you know what, if I did not have this money, how would I still continue to live day to day, month to month, year to year? And so with financial planning comes that applying that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And what it does is it forces us to have to one, seek that counsel, because you say, you know what, I can buy a whole lot of things with $500. I need some more clothes. But maybe you do need more clothes. But like Sister Shatara said a couple of months ago, if you get extra money that you weren't expecting, or maybe you were expecting, maybe you got a promotion or there was a pay raise, take that money and invest it and let your money make money. The only way we'll know these things and know about financial planning is by talking to people. And I know we talked about having somebody that you can trust. I know we talked about if you are not disciplined, have an accountability partner, being able to be transparent to say, this is where I am. So guess what? I do not know how to do financial planning. However, I'm willing to do it. And that's where knowledge and wisdom and that understanding comes in. You may not have the knowledge of how to financially plan, but you know somebody, you know somebody else, or you have a resource, maybe at a local community college, at your church, even at your bank. You know, they have classes and different things that somebody will sit down with you and go over this stuff free of charge because you're a member. So you may not have the knowledge, but you know where you can go to get the knowledge. And so when knowing where to go to get the knowledge, now you can get the understanding, and then that wisdom comes into where you can say, now I understand what they were saying. So going back to the example of the $500 check that you got in the mail from an overpayment, mm-hmm. maybe a year ago you would have taken that money and already spent it. I mean, you haven't even signed your name on the back of it, the ink hasn't dried, and you've already spent the $500. Now that you've gained knowledge, wisdom, and understanding because you've sought counsel from a friend, family member that's good with finances, somebody at your church, wherever it may be, a little lady on the corner that you saw and you just happened to bump into him or her, now a year mm-hmm. later, you know that when you get that $500, I can take $100 of it and put in my savings account. Maybe you did see a pair of shoes or a skirt or something. I can take $50 and I can buy the skirt or the shoes that I want, or maybe both because they're on sale. Hello, we got about to go into a holiday right now. You know, now you got $350 left over. Well, maybe you need to get a new tire. And so with financial planning and that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that Cousin Mary was talking about, now you know what to do with that $500 instead of just taking it and blowing it without giving it any thought, without giving it any type of rhyme or reason, and you look back and you got $500 and you have absolutely no idea what you spent it on. Because most times when we get money, the first thing we go and do is go out to eat. We got to celebrate. Look
Amen.
At what the Lord has done for me. And we go break
Amen.
Bread and have the last, the first, and the middle supper. And before you know it, we spent the first $100 of the $500. So I think what Cousin Mary said
Amen.
Was just like right on point. And I think that there's definitely a difference between financial spending and financial planning. Planning means that you have to be disciplined. You have to have structure. And you have to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in seeking counsel from those people that have that expertise that you may not have or may lack some of it because it's just not a strength for you at the moment. Whereas financial spending, I mean, even a caveman can spend money. That's how easy it is to spend. You just got to figure out which store you're going to go to spend it.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I think was real interesting and, is the fact that you made a contrast between spending and planning. You know, if we go and really look at what the book of Proverbs really talks about, the book of Proverbs makes a lot of contrast. So it talks about the rich and the poor. It talks about the master and the slave. It talks about the young and the old. And so when you did that, that kind of got me thinking about it. You know, is it really easier to spend, or is it really about discipline? And I'm glad that you said that as well. You talked about discipline a couple of times. It does take discipline in order to plan. It takes discipline to be able to sit down and say, I'm going to write out a plan. And when we spoke about planning last week, I want everybody to remember that it wasn't about not using the mind that you have. You know, God has given all of us a mind. It's not there so that it's not to be able to be used, and that only thing we do is just get everything from God and we don't use any of this brain and this mind that in our experiences that he's placed in us. That's not the point that I want anybody to take away from this. So not about using our mind to think of things and ways to get ourselves into a better situation, or it's not about, you know, just taking some time or some needed steps to move from a situation maybe of being in a place of lack into a place where, you know, the situation is a whole lot better. You know, what about moving from a place of bondage, financial bondage, to a place of spiritual freedom? You know, I want people to get away from tonight's episode that it's about working with God. It's using what God has already provided to you, using what God has already given to us, our experiences, how he's wired us. I want us to be able to, you know, want us to be able to take it from that standpoint, those who are listening. And I'm really believing that as we do that, as we work on it from that particular vantage point, that there'll be some opportunities for God to do some things that we probably never even thought about, because we have to take the time to be able to see and seek whatever he's trying to tell us to do. The other thing that I think that came to me when you were talking to Dean, when you talked about planning, was when we plan, planning can lead to us saving. And when we save, that can lead to us getting out of debt or putting ourselves into a better situation to not get ourselves placed into debt. So, for example, taking the time out right now to plan that I'm going to save $20 a month, for example. Well, it doesn't matter how much you're saving. The fact of the matter is I think God honors the discipline more so than anything, because God knows what everybody's working with. God knows that if every last one of us put the pen to the paper, how much money we have left over, whether we're being a good steward or not. And the fact that if we are able to exercise a level of discipline and spiritual discipline at that, when it comes to planning, because planning is biblical, when we're able to do that, I think God is going to honor that. I think God is going to see what we're doing. I think he's going to bless our efforts. And I believe also that there's potential there for God to move in some ways that we never even could have thought about, to help our situations go to a whole different level. So with that, Sister Mary, you had mentioned Proverbs 16:1, and that was one of the scriptures. But let me take it from the New Living Translation. We can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. So it's not a bad thing, again, for us to sit down and put the pen to the paper. However, when it says that the Lord gives the right answer, that doesn't mean that when we plan, we're having nothing but the wrong answer.
Hmm.
We want God to validate whatever it is. You know, again, there's these contrasts, but we got to be careful because sometimes we hear a lot of different things and we see one side or the other, and God is not talking about a black or white. He's talking about gray, something in the middle. So God gives us wisdom. God gives us has given us a mind, given us a brain, given us our experiences. Okay, I'm going to sit down. Here's what I want to do. I want to go take my wife on vacation. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to plan. I'm going to plan to put away $30 a month. And then if I go to God with that, because sometimes going to God first, God is not going to always give you an answer. Sometimes God is waiting to see what you're working with.
Amen.
And we bring stuff to God sometimes. It's not hard. So, okay, I want to save $30 a month. Now, if I do this for a period of 12 months, then at the end of the year or at the end of that 12-month period, I'll have $360. Okay? And seek God for that. Okay, God, this is what I'm planning on doing. If this is not the right thing, if I need to be putting away more, reveal it to me. If putting away $30 a month is not how much I really need to be putting, I only need to be putting away $20, reveal it to me. I believe God will honor those type of things. I believe God will bless us in the middle of those things. And I think we'll feel like we have been empowered by God to use what he's given us, not just praying to him for him to give us the answer where we don't have to do anything else. Again, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us using what God has given us. So, Adia, Sister Mary, I'm going to let y'all go because...
Well, what came into my mind, what you were saying, faith without works are dead. You know, I can be believing God I need to have a savings, but I never make an effort to do anything to get the savings. I'm just believing God, and it was something that you and I was discussing, and you were telling me you say, well, Mama, just put a dollar on the table, and that has stayed with me. You know, I mean, my budget is tight and it's overrunning, you know, but I can take out a dollar and put it away because, see, God's, again, is going to look at my heart and sincerity of my heart. Am I really serious about having savings? Am I serious? So I look at the lady that in the Bible that had the 1 cent, the mite. She was serious about it. She was surely around people that had more than she had. But she was serious because she wanted to get in on the blessing. So she said, this is all I have, you know. And so he said, you know, that was more faith than any of the others. I'm paraphrasing here. And to me, it was like she was sincere in her heart of wanting to give. So to me, no, I know that my cup is running, my bills are running over, you know. But the bottom line is that I can't take out a dollar. I can. I can take out a dollar and put it aside. I can do that. And if that's all I can do the whole 52 weeks, that's $52 more than what I had. Amen.
Amen.
So thank
Amen.
You for that encouragement about the dollar.
We got a couple of callers, so I'm going to come to call it with the last four of 6490 and 2023. You'll be after that. Welcome to the PR table.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
We're doing good.
One thing that I've come to find that if a lot of people, some of us will check into it, around Christmas time is a real big time, just, you know, when people usually go into debt and use credit cards and things because they don't prepare in the beginning of the year. I know, and I just wanted to touch on this because it just kind of came to my attention, but most banks, they do allow some of their members to Some banks have like Christmas clubs. So it's just something to keep in mind. Like I said, that's one big part of the year where a lot of people go into debt because they don't save in the beginning of the year. And they just kind of like at the last minute just frantically go out and just spend money that they don't even have. So that's just something that I just wanted to put in the air that, you know, if possible, if you have an institute that allow you to do like a Christmas club or something like that, then like you said, if you put that $20 or $50 away like every pay period, then you won't have to worry about going into debt come Christmas time. And I just wanted to share that part.
Thank you. You know what? Yeah. We have another caller, but I'm going to say something. That's a very interesting concept. Why can the church not be involved with helping the plan? Why can't we do that? I believe that we can. I believe that my church can do it. However, it goes back to something that I say all the time. The church environment has to be such so that people are able to trust whatever that thing is. If it's called a Christmas club, if it's called a whatever you want to name it, whatever terminology you want to put on top of it, when those type of things are brought before congregations or institutions, the people have to trust the institution. So if that is something that can't be instituted because there's a lack of trust there, then I'm going to say one of the things that y'all need to be praying for is that that trust gets rebuilt. Mm-hmm. And it may not be the whole church that participates. So why not start it with a few members? You know, just a thought. Call it with the last four of 2023. Welcome to the PR table.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Good evening. She talked you up, didn't she?
I was here the whole time this time. But she actually brought that statement back to my remembrance. I didn't remember saying it, but, you know, it kind of helped along with what I'm about to say. So I'm a little all over the place because listening to everybody, I got something from everything that everybody said. But basically, I think it boils down to being teachable, understanding that you do have to seek God. But you need to be prepared for what he has to say when you're seeking him for direction and what you need to do financially and how to spend your money, how to save your money, whatever it may be. You have to seek God, but you also have to be prepared to learn what he has to say to you. So when you seek him for the direction, what he's going to give, ultimately, the goal is for you to learn to be a good steward financially and spiritually.
Right.
So if you don't know something, you need to know what you don't know so that you can get what you need to know either from God or from another person that he puts in your life or in your path. So if you're trying to get financial freedom and you're seeking God for this, like, Lord, you know, I can't pay the rent or I'm struggling to pay the rent, and you're asking him to show you, well, the first way is to not go spend all of your money during Christmas time or go out there and buy everybody dinner because you got that unexpected check. And then the next thing is when that person comes in your path and they're like, oh, yeah, I just got this check, or I'm going to save because I want to, you know, do something special, or I need to get my daughter some shoes, or I'm trying to save for my child's college. Whatever that may be, they put that person in your path, you need to be willing to receive from that person. So you have to have a teachable spirit. And then, you know, I was thinking of followership, leadership and followership. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the military. With the leadership and followership, in order to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower first. And so when you're seeking God, I'm going to bring it all the way back around. When you're seeking God and he's teaching you something or he puts somebody else in your path to teach you, if you receive what's being taught to you, you then become a good leader. So you pass that down to the next generation.
Amen.
So not only are you removing yourself from bondage, but then you're saving the people coming after you that are watching you, your children, your nieces, nephews, whoever, the next generation. They see what they're supposed to be doing, so you save them from making some of the mistakes that you made. Mm-hmm. So, the scripture that I want to finish with is not only you should be seeking God, yes, and all and acknowledge Him in every way, but on top of that, if you delight yourself in Him, all of those things that you want that you're going to spend yet that $500 is burning a hole in your pocket because you're like, oh my gosh, I have all of this extra money. If you delight yourself in Him and seek Him on a regular basis, He'll give you what you need. So you don't have to worry about spending amiss and, you know, throwing your money away, because the Bible also says if you delight yourself in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll make the way for you to get it without you spending that $500. Somebody will come and bless you with it. That very thing that you were pressed about getting, somebody will come and give it to you. You won't even have to spend any money. So I just wanted to add my half cents. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, let's go to Proverbs 6, y'all. Proverbs 6, we talked about it before, but, you know, take a lesson from the ant, learn her ways or learn their ways and become wise. They have no prince, no ruler to make them work. They labor all hard in the summer, gathering food for the winter. But you lazy bones, and I love that word, lazy bones. How long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Whenever I hear that, whenever I read that scripture, the bottom part of that scripture, the last couple of verses, is the warning.
Yes.
The first part of that scripture is the place where everybody, where we want here on the PRF table, we want everybody to be in the top couple of scriptures. The top couple of scriptures are those particular verses. Take a lesson from the ant. There's time for people to do planning when it comes to their finances. So it's not over. You may not have all the money that you think that you need. You may not have all the money that you know that you need. But start planning. Wouldn't it be amazing if those who don't really have, quote-unquote, a lot of money and don't really feel that they're able to save, to just start planning for it? You know what? This is my goal. I want to be able to save $100 a month. You may not can save $100 a month right now physically because of your financial situation. This is going to help somebody. But why not ask God, say, God, this is what my plan is. I want to be able to save $100 a month, and I don't want to wait until I'm 65 to do it, and I'm only 20 now. So, God, what are some ways that you can reveal to me that I can get up to that $100 mark? Why not? It's just like with tithing. This is a place, an area that I'll be teaching on probably before the summer is out. So many people are in bondage to the tithe because a tithe means a tenth. But so many people have been in bondage to the tithe that they don't hardly even give because so many people, like Brother Fisa was on the line, Adia, he would talk about the beatdown scripture. You got to give 10%, you got to give 10%, you got to give 10%. Some folk can't afford 10%. And this is what I say. If you can't afford 10%, you know what you're working with. If we're talking like we're supposed to, then the people who are in need, those of us who have it, will help those who are in need. So nobody will have to worry about if I give my 10% because the church says or a minister says or a pastor says I got to give 10% because that's what I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. And when they are short on their bills, then there would be no problem helping that person. We got to do it right if we want those type of planned results that I know and you know, Adia, that God is waiting to just shower down on his people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, again, I'm going to let you go, Adia, but for me, let's take the lessons of what some people have done and what some people have not done. We all don't have to learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Shatara said, if I'm remembering correctly, about people being placed in our path. Sister Mary, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, you ran out the gate with it, about the counselors, multitude of counselors, their safety.
Yes.
All of that is relevant to how we plan, and is relevant inside of financial planning. The brother who just came on a few minutes ago talked about a Christmas club. That's a practical way of not just saving, but planning, because we want people to ask God, how much do I need to put away in this? I may can put $50 away. Adia, you may be able to put $100 away. I don't need to be chasing what God is telling you to do or what you are able to do because your financial situation is better than mine. So for the whole point of the matter is, it is definitely about wisdom. Did you have anything, cousin?
I just wanted to say, and this was like the scripture that came to mind, I like what both the callers said. What I liked about the Christmas Club is that it showed that discipline. It's something that you, it's not just a plan by itself, but it's a part of the bigger plan, because you're looking at, if you start in January, you're planning something all the way for the end of the year in December. So it's not the plan, but it becomes a part of the plan. And I think that with a plan is that you get to see what's going on. And with a plan, you know, it allows you to have an honest conversation. What is it that I would like to plan for? And like you said, some things may not be realistic at the time, but eventually, because as your financial situation gets better, then you're able to plan and do more things. And so the scripture that came to my mind, which is a favorite one that you hear a lot of, is that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And I like what God is saying, because he's saying, you are my people. And with being God's people, is there's love, there's concern, there's grace, there's mercy, there's compassion, there's forgiveness. And so God is saying, my people, you, us, me, I, you perish for the lack of knowledge. And so what I see from that is him saying, I'm acknowledging, and I want you to acknowledge that this is what's going on and why it's going on. You don't have to perish if you have the knowledge. But sometimes I think we get caught up in, man, these people, they're not getting it. They just not getting it. So we got to do the beat down scripture. But with knowledge, you know, like Cousin Mary said, with that knowledge comes understanding, meaning that you have to be taught, like Shatara says, but then at the same time, you got to be teachable.
Amen.
And so we can acknowledge that people are perishing. I can acknowledge that I'm perishing because I don't have the knowledge on how to financially plan. But I know that there are things that will help me, and I am so wrapped up in the scripture to know that God loves us so much that he still acknowledges us even when we don't understand. Even when we're perishing, he's saying, he's acknowledging it so that we can understand, so that we can see it and become aware of it, so that we can know, which is the prefix in the word knowledge, so that we can know what's going on in our lives. God is still always giving us hints and clues, and just full, sometimes our fool just landing on the car, boom, there it is. You just missed it, dear. You just missed it, and I need to let you know that you missed it so that you can get it right. And I think that I know that we serve a loving and compassionate God who does not want us to continue to perish because we do not have the knowledge. And if he's saying that we're doing something, there must be an opposite side to it. Like you said, Nate, in Proverbs, if we're talking about the rich, we can't just talk about the rich without talking about the poor. So if we're perishing, there must be another side to unperishing. I don't know another word for, not a right word for perishing or the opposite of perishing, but I like that. And that gives us a hope. That gives us, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Amen.
And so God is, when he brings these things to us, we got to know that God is saying, I'm trying to give you an expected end because I have thoughts of love and peace about you, but I'm not going to just tell you that you're doing everything right. That's why I need you to pray to me about your plans. That's why I want to put people in your path. That's why I can send you the different things in the mail or from a neighbor unexpectedly, because I have an expected end for you. And so because we know that God has an expected end for us, we know that it's going to be okay, that there are going to be some things that we have to do, that we're going to have to discipline ourselves so that we can have so that what we're trying to do in for December, we started in January. And Jessica Reedy has a song. It's entitled "He Made Something Out of Nothing." If you put that towards financial planning, you may not have a lot to start with, but you can sure make something out of nothing by having a plan. And I just, you know, with a plan, it just allows you to see what you have and what you need to readjust. And I, going back to what you said earlier about, I can't remember who said it, but about the correct answer, the word that came to me was that when God gives us the correct, gives us the answer, he's given us a focus and direction. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought, that's how the word answer kind of came defined to me, that when God gives you an answer, it is focused, it is specific, and it gives direction. Our answer, on the other hand, it may have a focus, but sometimes it may not be specific or as specific as we may need it to be, and it may not give us the right direction, because maybe we need to go, you know, 5 degrees to the right, and we're actually 2 degrees to the left, and those 2 degrees can be detrimental to us for our future. So that was just my little tidbit.
Oh, sister, I'm telling you, I am so excited here because I wrote down some notes on the word focus, and you said
sister
that
Millie,
word.
Hold that. Hold
okay.
that for 1 minute. We got a
okay.
brother that's been waiting on the line. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sister. How are you tonight or this morning?
Just blessed and excited.
I ain't going to get another word for the rest of the show, but go ahead.
I tell you what, I love when Adia talks, because she talks with so much passion, so much clarity, and so much simplicity that it just, I mean, even a child can really just listen and understand. And as she was talking, I love cliches, and one of the cliches that I love is, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And one of the things that I've come to understand about that, because it took me a while to really understand what that was saying, but one of the things that I've come to understand about that is, those of us that are walking through life, and this used to be me for a long time, and still me in some areas, but those of us that are walking through life and just allowing life to happen, you know, allowing things to happen, you know, just this is what I want to do, and, well, if it happened, to God be the glory. If it don't happen, it wasn't God's plan. That's not necessarily always true. So what that cliche is telling me is that if you have decided that you want to do something, then you sit down and you make a plan. The Bible says in the Old Testament, I think it's Habakkuk, write the vision. So God is telling us right there. I mean, it's so simple. Write it down. What that writing it down does, there's an accountability piece right there. There's a reminder. The accountability is, as I continue to look at it, I'm holding myself accountable to the steps that I must take to achieve this plan or this goal. The reminder is, every time I look at it, it keeps it in my forefront. So I'm being re-energized. I'm being, you know, my drive is getting stronger because I'm seeing where I'm going. No one gets in the car, well, unless you from the country and it's a, you know, night, Sunday afternoon. But no one gets in a car and simply just takes off and say, I'm going to just ride around for an hour. Wherever I end up, that's where I'm going to end up. No, people get in the car with a destination in mind. And we're so serious about our destination when we're driving in our vehicles that we now have GPSs in there. We get in the car and we say we want to go to California. We want to go to San Francisco. We want to go to the In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco. And we'll plug in the direction or the location or the destination to where we want to go. And we're going to listen to everything that GPS is telling us. Turn left here. Turn right here. Turn around here. You got about another 50 miles. You know, we'll listen to all of that. But when it comes to planning our lives, and I'm talking about me, even though I'm saying we, when it comes to planning our lives, there are a lot of areas that we're saying, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. And then when it don't happen, the funny thing is, when it don't happen, I get upset. because it's something that I really wanted. Because if it popped in my head, chances are that's something that I really wanted. I said that this year I was going to do a bucket list. But I was like, hey, I really ain't got a whole lot of things I really want to do. But the more I think about this bucket list and I don't write anything down, the more things pop out that I'm like, okay, this is something that I want to do. So if I don't write this bucket list down, how am I going to complete the things on this task? And the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to let y'all talk. I was talking to a lady who says that she wants to run a half marathon. After I ran my half marathon, I told her that I ran it and showed her my time and everything. And she said, man, I wish I could do that. I said, well, what stopped you? She said, I've always wanted to do that. It's on my bucket list. I said, well, are you running? She said, no. I said, well, the object of a bucket list is to do it before you kick the bucket. I said, if you never get started, then you'll never accomplish it. And so I got online, and while we were talking, we was chatting, while we were chatting, I got online and looked up simple ways to start running, little 5K. And it was like run for a minute, walk for a minute. And I copied it, I pasted the text, and I sent it to her. Guess what? You ain't even got to write that plan down. That plan is already done. So the other thing I want to say is sometimes the things that we want to do, somebody might already have it all written down. So, you know, it ain't all about rewriting the wheel. It really ain't. It's all about deciding what you want to do, refining and making sure it's pinpoint, and then putting together a plan. And I'm talking about myself, even though I'm saying a lot of us's and we's and me's, because there are some, like I just said, this was the year for me to write a bucket list. So I'm gonna take a pause and let somebody else cover it, because you know I can go all day.
Oh my goodness! Nobody want to come behind Brother Feast. I'm gonna be the brave one. You know what? I'm gonna steal your analogy of the GPS on my sermon on Sunday. So I'll be sure to give you credit like I always do when I steal stuff that you say in my PR thing with Brother Feast. But
it ain't copyrighted. Go ahead, my brother.
One thing that I do think is really, really important is when you in your analogy about the GPS is, we plug the directions in and we follow those directions not knowing who programmed the maps, not having any knowledge about anybody that had anything to do with that destination being correct. And we may not even know if the destination, if we don't get to our destination the way that the directions say, we won't even know if the thing is malfunctioning until we find out, hold on, I should have been there 2 hours ago. And there's nothing that we can do about it. So we put our faith in a lot of different things. I mean, trust me, I plug the directions in, and then I go. I'm riding. When I go back home, and everybody knows I'm from Philly, but when I go over into New Jersey, Jersey has these crazy turns they call jug handles, I think. And just think about a jug handle. And you don't go to a light and then make a left. You got to go to the right and then come back across that side of the highway to go to the left. It's the craziest thing in the world. And it will trick the GPS system beyond measure. And you will be riding around in that little circle time after time again, because what she's going to say is, turn right, redirecting, turn right, turn right. I'm like, hold on, can you catch up with what I'm trying to do? So sometimes the things that we're trying to do, they don't always match up. And I really appreciate the fact that we have to be willing to know that if we're putting our trust in God, we don't have to worry about getting lost when it comes to the directions that he's given us to follow. When I look back at Proverbs 16, in verse 1, it says we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. But then in verse 9, it says we can make our own plans, but the Lord determines the steps. So we want the Lord to be able to give us the right answer to whatever it is that we're planning on doing. And then we also want the Lord to determine our steps with the plan. So in that ninth verse, it sounds like God is saying, your plans are okay. I'm going to let you go ahead and make your plans, but I'm going to determine your steps of getting there. I'm done. I'm dropping the mic.
Oh, okay. I'm excited about this, Sister Medea. When you brought in the word in your discussion about focus, Focus. This is really, really an area for me. When we are here listening to the teaching and listening to all the information that is given to us, and then once we make and once we decide, okay, I'm going to plan. Okay, I'm going back to my dollar. I'm going to plan that I'm doing this dollar 52 weeks. You know, once a month, which is 52 weeks, is it? But anyway, okay, then now I have to keep my focus because, and I can't listen to what somebody else is doing, as we have already discussed it. I have to stay focused on what I'm doing because now I've done my financial planning, I've done seek God and all those good things on that. So now I know that I can only afford this dollar, only can do that dollar per paycheck. I get paid once a month. Now, if I lose my focus on that, and someone else say, oh, well, I say $5 a month, and then I start saying, I can some way wheel and deal and do $5. I can take a dollar from the electric bill, a dollar from this bill, and a dollar from that bill. I cannot do that because I'm obligated to pay my bills. I'm obligated if my light bill is $40, I need to pay $40 because I have used it. I created that bill. And therefore, I'm not being a good steward over the plan, you know. And so, if I want God to bless my financial plan, then I must be also faithful in all my other financial obligations that I have. And then the sister was talking about committing your way into the Lord. And here in Psalm 37:3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Fourth say, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And also we have to commit our way unto the Lord and trust also in him. And he said, he shall bring it to pass. So if I believe that, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then I don't have to worry about taking robbing Peter from Paul to try to get $5 a week. I can continue to stay with my dollar, pay all my bills, and then just enjoy and, you know, delight myself in the Lord, you know, and knowing in my heart that he's going to make it come to pass. Because, see, my planning is not the $5 a week. It was the $5 a month, a week, $5 a month. It was a dollar a month. And that was my planning. So if I stay within my planning, then therefore, and take into consideration that I have also have my budget, this is a budget that I'm on, really. So I should not be stealing, so to speak, from Peter to pay Paul here, because everything is balancing out, and it says, okay, you can pay that dollar a week. So I must also be diligent in what I do, you know, because God wants us to have excellence in what we do, you know. He wants us to have integrity in what we do. So if I get so caught up in my savings and listen to somebody else and they can pay 5, 10, et cetera, instead of sticking to the plan, trusting God that I can even do the dollar, because things do happen, you know. And then he says here, and he shall give thee the desires of my heart. So I'm going to have my $52 because I'm going to stay right in this word here. I'm going to be faithful to the plan, be financially accountable, because after all, I'm seeking God to help me. And again, God wants sincerity. So do I really want God to help me in my financial planning? And so we can't be double-minded. We have to be focused. And I have to stay focused on what I'm doing. And once you lose your focus, we lose our focus, then we just say, what does it mean? A dollar? Why should I save a dollar anyway? Because now we done got discouraged. But we won't get discouraged if we follow the plan and stay right in the word and don't do what the Joneses do. Do what you know you have already planned and you have submitted to God. That's all.
Amen. All right.
Yes.
Go ahead, Adia.
Okay. So I'm just, like, so excited because, Cousin Mary, you said something. You were talking about, like, the plan, and you were saying how it was my plan or it's your plan. Or we have a plan, whether it's individually or as a family or as a group or team or church, whatever you want to call it, we have a plan. And so this is, like, so awesome because
Proverbs 16:1 says, we can make our own plan, and this is New Living Translation, but the Lord gives the right answer. New King James Version says, the preparations of the heart belong to the man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so what I got was, when you kept saying my plan, the Lord is not saying not to plan. The Lord is not even saying that I can't even use what you plan. It's when we don't have anything that God can't use nothing. You know, and so we're wondering, like, how come I'm still in the same predicament that I was like 15 years ago? Because you still haven't put a plan out. You still haven't written the vision to make it plain. And so that's what I just wanted to share that, because it just hit me that God is not saying I'm going to change your plan, but he's just saying I'm going to determine where you're going to go with the plan that you wrote. And that is I just want to share that, because that just really was illuminated and became, like, real to me. I love this verse right here because I talk about it a lot. I tell people, even being in the Army, I use this verse when I counsel my soldiers. I tell them, you got to have a plan. It's in my counseling, and I want to see it. I need you to have a short-term plan and a long-term plan. I said, because my thought process is that if you have a plan, even though things may not go according to how you went, I guarantee that something in your plan is going to work out and it will come to pass. But if you don't give God anything to work with, if we don't even give ourselves anything to work with, our steps can't be determined by the Lord. They can't be directed. He can't give a right answer. Matter of fact, probably can't give you a answer because you don't have anything. So I just wanted to share that because it just became real to me that it's so important that we have a plan. I think with God, he's not even concerned with, you know, did you spell the words right, and, you know, is it this elaborate, you know, plan to execute? Just, do you have a plan? Like, do you have down that I want to do a Christmas club? Lord, I just want to save money. That's the plan right there. I want to save enough money by December.
That's
now
right.
The Lord can say, you know what? You're going to be able to save $1,000. Really, Lord? Okay, well, how are we going to do that? Now he can begin to determine your steps and direct your steps on how you're going to do it. And when he was talking about that dollar staying within your means, like, that is so phenomenal because, and I'm going to share this, like, me and John had done, like, a lot of different things, and he's on the call. So we had done, like, a lot of different things, like, with different businesses. We were, like, you know, wanting to help other people that were starting their business. And then after a while, it was just like, okay, we like what we're doing, but we need to shift our focus. Like, there's some things that we need to do. And though we have the means to do it, how is it going to help us in the long run? I prayed about it. I've been doing my budget. And every month, I would just get so upset. I would be like, we got to let this go. And it was like, well, but it benefits us sometimes. So it's just like, well, we can just keep it. But every month during the budget, it was just like, I'm tired of seeing this thing because I'm not seeing a return on the investment. Finally, I just prayed about it, and the Lord was just like, stop it. For a season, stop it. You may be able to start it back up again, but right now, that is not what I need you to do. Stop it. I took that money, and said, I am going to start a savings account with that money. This goes back to the episode where we were talking about executing our plan, that sometimes you may have to make some adjustments. Sometimes what you're doing is okay, but is it benefiting you? So I had to look at my budget, what is a monthly plan, to say this isn't working for us right now. So we need to readjust and do some other things until the situation changes. And that right there you're talking about, like, was just delivered and was just so excited. I could not wait to go and just say, hey, I need to suspend this. Hey, I need to cancel this. And even though one of them was a travel, was dealing with travel, I needed to get Kimuel's plane ticket to go with his father for the summertime. And I just prayed. I said, you know what, Lord? I said, we've been looking for a plane ticket. Well, a friend of mine found one for $148. I texted his father. I said, hey, can you pay for this ticket? Now, in my mind, I said, Lord, I need him to pay for this ticket. He was like, no problem. Went to the website and got it. These are the things that when we have a plan, God can work with them. And but the thing is that you got to give him something to work with. And I just wanted to share that, and I am shutting up, like, N.W.N., I promise.
Well, we can go back to one of our callers real quick, and then we're going to go to Brother Feaster before he heads out for the day. So, Shatara, you're back with us.
Oh, I think you might need to go with Brother Feaster because, you know, Adia was, yeah, let him go first because I'm going to probably be a little long-winded.
I got you. Go ahead, Brother Feaster.
Now, that's kind of crazy. She said, I need to go first because she's going to be long-winded. Oh, my God. Y'all
know
you
got
to get long-winded. But, I was listening to Adia again, and man, she just opened my eyes to the fact that God values our plan. I mean, as she was talking, and she only came up with, I think, one, maybe two scriptures, but a couple other things popped in my head. God showed us how having a plan is beneficial. And you've heard preachers talk about this over and over again. But I never looked at it from the perspective of God being a planner. When people go and talk about Genesis chapter 1, where God didn't make the fish, then made the water. No, it shows right there that God had a plan. God had a plan. In Genesis chapter 1, when he first got on the scene, he established his plan. No, I'm sorry, he initiated his plan. The plan was already set. When it comes to salvation, a lot of people think that Jesus is mentioned only in the New Testament or salvation is only mentioned in the New Testament. But there's scripture reference over scripture reference to show that Jesus was mentioned in the Old Testament. You know, so, and it showed that the plan of salvation did not start when he talked to Mary and Joseph. You know, so, and when you said, Adia, that, you know, God, when we have a plan, we give God something to work with, I began to think, you know, if God is working with the plan, then, well, God gave us the plan, you know, because anything godly, God already, I mean, I can't even think of the scripture how it says, but to think about God, God has to first put the thought in your mind. So it goes to the thoughts of God. God has put them in your mind. So all God is doing is dropping a seed in you and telling you, hey, go run with it. I got this. I got this. I got this. So everything I'm hearing about planning and the planning process all boils down to trusting and being dependent on God himself. Because here's the funny thing about a plan. We sit down and we write our plan. And if you're like me, you're very detailed. I mean, I try to get down to the second. You know, because I want to make sure that I know when I'm stepping off with my left versus my right and when I'm going to the right versus my left. But we all know in the game of life that we play that there's always going to be something that comes up and trips up our plan. But that doesn't stop the plan. It gets us refocused and back on focus. So, I mean, Adia, I just want to thank you because you illuminated my mind to the fact that God values our plan. God is so serious about planning that he gave us plenty of examples, you know what I'm saying, and he co-signs the plan. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know anything about a co-signer, you know, the better the co-signer, you know, you got something on your side. So if God is co-signing the plan, then we all know when you co-sign for a car, what happens? When I can't pay, when I can't be reliable, they're going to go to the co-signer and say, hey, guess what? Brother Feaster can't pay this month. What you got on this? You know, and you know what? That person may or may not even be around anymore. But when God co-signs the plan, then we know that regardless of what happened, God is always going to be able to foot the bill. When God told Joseph, now when God told Abraham to take Isaac to that mountain and sacrifice his son, y'all got me worked up, and sacrifice his son, the plan was for a sacrifice. And what Abraham was expecting was to sacrifice his son. And the Bible says that in his heart, he believed that if he killed this boy, that God would raise him from the dead. But God already had his plan over what Abraham's plan was. And then when it came time to sacrifice the son, he provided the sacrifice. Good night. I'm stopping right there because I got worked out. Y'all got me excited because it goes to show that God values the plan. Man, God is all in the plan. Man, I tell you, that got me excited. That got me excited. I'm done. Because if I keep on talking, I'm going to be here another 30 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
We love you, bro. Be careful over there. Go ahead, Shatara. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm sure you're going to do it.
Okay. Well, see, I'm on planning, too. I'm still on planning, right. So, because that did something for me, too. I felt that planning thing when it just Adia started talking about it. And just to go back to another adage about plan, Brother Feasta said that he, you know, the one about planning to failing to plan, you plan to fail. I have one that says, a plan that's not written down is merely a dream. It is a dream. So you can sit there and daydream about what could be, what should be, what might be, but until you write it down, you get no results. So on that note, when you write your plan down, you actually breathe life into it, so to speak. So you open your mind to start, you know, ways of changing whatever your issue is, whatever you plan to do, whether it be to save, to get a savings account, or to start running so you can run the marathon. When you write that plan down, you give life to it. You start thinking, okay, so how can I accomplish that plan? Now, all the while, keeping God in mind, because he's the one that's going to facilitate it as long as it's in line with his will. He's going to facilitate your plan, but you have to write it down. Because if you don't write it down, then you're still operating in old habits, in the old ways. But when you put it on paper, then you start to open your mind and say, okay, what can I do to execute this plan, to help this plan come to life? So as far as the savings, Sister Mary was saying about taking her dollar for 52 weeks, you can start with a penny. Start with a penny if you have to. And then graduate to a nickel and a dime and a quarter. And, you know, and then you might get to a dollar after a while. But I was listening to the news, and they said $1.2 million worth of pennies are thrown away every year.
Wow.
So what's the reason? What reason can't you start with a penny? Because if you get enough of those, you can end up with $1.2 million. I mean, that's you know, best case scenario, and that's everybody throwing away their pennies. But, you know, that's significant. So if you start small with one penny, you can grow to $1.2 million. But starting small means you have to write it down first. Write it down first and put it in God's hand. The Bible says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, your mustard seed is you writing down your plan. That means it's something that you want to accomplish. That's something you want to get done. That's your mustard seed right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put that in God's hand and watch him grow it into a great big tree. And your ladder will be much, much greater in that case. So the plan is very important. You know, like Brother Feaster said, God, you know, he values your plan. He does value your plan. And like Sister Adia said, when you plan, you're focused. It focuses you on whatever that issue is, and then it opens your mind up to start receiving options, alternatives to what you've been doing to accomplish that. So that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you, Nate. I have one thing.
I just wanted, you know, the whole thing with the penny. I will tell you, I just want to share this. When I was in college, year 1999, I was sitting outside of the Bank of America. You know, in college, you really don't have no money, didn't have a job. And the Lord spoke to me. And I'd always been one, like, you know, growing up as a kid, like, we always just picked up pennies because for us, that was like money to go to the penny candy lady that lived down the street, like a couple, like two blocks down the street from us. So to us, like, pennies were valuable. And so we always understood the value of a penny, literally a brown penny with President Lincoln on it. as I got older, probably like in my 20s, I was just like, you know what, I would see pennies on the ground. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, you talk about wealth, but if you want to have wealth, he said, you got to start. And I want you to, every time you see a penny, I want you to pick it up. And so, like Shatara was saying, you can start with a penny. I have been saving pennies. Those pennies have come in handy when I needed spare change in a grocery store. And by just being able, it's like now all of a sudden I have this magnet. I even tell my kids, they will bend down and pick a penny up off the ground in a heartbeat. From that, I have found quarters, nickels, dimes. I have found dollar bills, $5 bills. John has even found, I want to say, $10 one time on the ground. But the thing is that God is in everything that we do. And sometimes we're looking, we're desiring something. We're desiring for God to give us something. But he's saying if you would just pick the penny up off the ground. I know you may not think that it has value, but Shatara just pointed out the value that a penny has. And so if we would be willing to pick up the penny off the ground, whether we think it's valuable or not, we will see the blessings that God has for us, and we will be able to continue to walk. We will be able to continue to walk in his blessings, knowing that he has a purpose for everything, even the penny on the ground. And that's all I wanted to share.
Well, my brothers and my sisters, there's no need for me to say anything other than join us back again next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of the PRI Table. And who knows, you may have a seat at this table as well. So we thank everybody who's listening. And, Adi, I just want to say that there was one of our listeners who's been listening to us online, and Mark had a comment to you. He said, she's talking that real talk. So the things that you were saying, that was his comment to you. Everything that Shatara was saying, Mama, Brother Feaster, everybody, John, we appreciate you so much for just even taking the time out of your schedule just to even sit down at this table for helping to fulfill this plan that God has planned and put inside of my heart a couple of years ago, and just to see how over these last couple of years how it's just blossomed, and the dedication of all you, the listeners, even the listeners who's online, I want to just say that I truly appreciate you. So we'll see you back here next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and God bless.